Welcome back, fans, to another Wrestle Reaction big special episode this week. Coming to you Wednesday night instead of Tuesday. Had some issues, but we are on the air. Frank Manzo back with Joe Omega. And
Wait a second.
Bro. WrestleMania crew,
No, Frank, stop the show right now. Jumping on the bandwagon that I believe that we were leading, just letting everybody know. You're not breathing the vowels in my name. It's oh. May. God. Read the vowels in my name. We are not the guys to say we told you so, but we told you so.
Because I don't know what show out there is looking better than us after WrestleMania weekend. I mean, let's take it right from the top. Our guys, Ryback, Fandango, Ziggler. Three guys that we have been on big time since we started this show. And obviously, Ryback and Fandango, you know, more recent to that. Ziggler established years ago when he was mid-carding. I don't care what anybody else says. But look at what went on Sunday and Monday. And I was so proud to wake up Tuesday morning after just two awesome nights of wrestling. And I know some people were not so hot on WrestleMania 29, but my biggest question to you is, what the hell were you expecting? What did you want? Because if you watched that event, you knew what was coming. We all knew what was coming. And you know what? Sometimes predictability, even though it doesn't give you that mark out moment like the Money in the Bank briefcase cash in, which we will get to, but you can put on a great, big time WWE style entertaining show. And I spoke to our good friend Rob, who is, you know, a 55-year-old guy. He's a longtime wrestling fan. He goes back to the San Martino days. He's always been watching. And he said that he loved WrestleMania 29 the other night, watched the whole thing, and he just thought it was an awesome show, top to bottom. So I don't know where the hate comes from, Joe.
I mean, I told you right there at WrestleMania, the hate stems from the undercard, the non-cash-in. I said it right away. I go, I really think that WWE missed the boat with Ziggler not cashing in at WrestleMania. Most of the matches we had were predictable outcomes. Triple H's career was not going to end. John Cena was most likely not losing to The Rock, and The Streak was not going to end to CM Punk. This, I think, would have made the fans happy at WrestleMania because there were so many predictable matches that were good. They were good matches, all three of them, most definitely. But at the same time, you did have an undercard that got rushed, I really felt. I mean, if you really looked at the minutes that each match got on the card, the Mark Henry match with Ryback, that match was, I personally thought, poorly written as a match in general. Like, whoever was laying out that match, I think they failed on that one, like, really bad. The Ziggler Big E versus Team Hell No, I liked it. I thought it was a very good match, but very, very quick. Ziggler got squashed, made everyone think, oh, well, if he got, you know, beat so fast now, he's going to come back for the cash-in. I really, really think it would help the WrestleMania overall. For a good wrestling show, like we said, Triple H versus Brock Lesnar was much, much better than the first one.
Big time.
But for a good wrestling show, it was very, very predictable. You've seen some good matches, but nothing. There's no real big WrestleMania moments to me besides, you know, I would say maybe Taker going down to the urn to a continuous streak.
But well, overall, we'll get to that because we are not happy with that. We're going to do a top five of both nights, of what the top five moments of Raw and WrestleMania combined. We're going to end the show with that. We'll get to some stuff that I would have brought up right now, but we will get to that. Big moments that we're going to talk about. But you know what, Joe? Let's start off with what everybody has been waiting since July to see. The Money in the Bank cash-in of Dolph Ziggler. And like you said, they missed the boat. I mean, I'm happy right now that Dolph Ziggler was the champion. I thought it came over very good on Raw. I thought that scenario could have came over very good on any Raw. You didn't necessarily need that hot Jersey WrestleMania tourist crowd, basically, to get that kind of ovation for Ziggler. I think you could have got that anywhere. But how do you not have the second biggest indoor attendance of WrestleMania of all time, 29 years, go apeshit for the Money in the Bank cash-in of Dolph Ziggler? It's just, I loved it. I'm happy he's champ. It was good. Good booking by WWE, but I think they missed the boat. It's such a unbelievable thing that could have happened at WrestleMania. I mean, obviously, WrestleMania is the most bought pay-per-view of the whole year, both live and on home video, DVD and Blu-ray. I just, you know, I can't imagine going back to that over and over like we do with the WrestleManias, you know, every year when it comes about, and getting to see that on the card. I think it would have been awesome. And I think everybody's complaint about this WrestleMania was that the undercard is what really, it wasn't bad by any means. I happened to enjoy a lot of the matches, but it just didn't live up to the last three matches of the card, which is really stacked, very, very heavy. And if you ask me what could have really helped that, well, the cash-in. It would have really balanced out the whole bottom of the card and brought something different. You would have had that, well, Rock Cena was predictable, Triple H Lesnar was predictable, Undertaker most predictable match of the whole card, but we got Dolph Ziggler cashing in the Money in the Bank. And that would have been great. And by the way, it would have been great because it would have been after a fantastic Del Rio Swagger match, which I love, by the way. I know you didn't get a chance to see the TV version yet, but I did go back. I rented a bathroom in the intros of that at WrestleMania, and I wanted to, you know, be able to say I saw the whole show, Coulter's promo and everything, and I absolutely loved that Del Rio Swagger match. I mean, and they're not two of my guys, but I'd say for both of them, that might be on their top five matches they've ever had, because it was really that good.
Well, Frank, I'm just going to say, a lot of people in the chat room believe that WWE did not miss the boat with the Ziggler cash in Mania. They think that Raw was the right way to go.
That's cool. And like I said, I'm not hating on it.
We were so happy it happened. Really.
I jumped up and down. I literally, like, I, you know, I'm an older fan. I have only a few moments where I can literally say I'm marking out. But I think that was definitely one of them. I mean, I was going nuts. And it was awesome. I wouldn't change it for anything. But it's just, there's a big difference between 80,000 and change popping for that pin that you're seeing right there, or 17,000. And I don't care about indoor or outdoor, MetLife Stadium would have went off the hook. I mean, Joe, you're the one who said it to me when I got back to my seat. They were chanting, "We want Ziggler," what, a minute into the Swagger Del Rio match? So
pretty much just the same thing as Raw,
right,
with exactly. Dolph Ziggler, but only this was at WrestleMania. And now why we feel that we don't think it's a bad idea to have the Mania cash in, because once he didn't cash in at WrestleMania, I go to Frank and go, tomorrow night, Dolph Ziggler will cash in on Monday Night Raw. But what we're trying to say is that it would have helped the WrestleMania crowd. It would have helped people who ordered WrestleMania that wanted to see that cash in. It was great for WWE. It's great for Dolph Ziggler. But a lot of people wanted to see him do it at WrestleMania, to have his moment at WrestleMania, because he definitely deserved it.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. And it helped Raw, and Raw was a great episode, and we're going to get to that. And like I said, bravo to them. But now let's talk about, you know, what we like to talk about, WWE booking and planning.
Well, speaking of booking and planning,
go ahead.
I'll give him his Raven 98 in the chat room says that he thinks that the cash in WrestleMania would have been overshadowed by the three matches after it. But at the same time, with those three matches being so predictable, as it was called, predictable mania,
right,
people were really looking forward to this cash-in, and that's the point we're trying to get across. You make a great point as well. But at the same time, we also have the three matches back to back to back, and I really think it was tough for the fans there. It was like this. It was like a wave. It was you get so up for one portion of the match, then you know it's like an end, you get back down. Then right. You get back up. Right. Then Triple H, Brock Lesnar starts. You're down again. Then right. You have to go right back up.
No, you need filler matches.
It was no very tough to stick and hang with those three matches without getting a little bored, without getting a little tired at the same time.
What also doesn't help either is, and I don't think a lot of people understood this watching the TV product, because most of you obviously did, but it's great on TV because you have the camera guys getting all the good shots for you, but in an 80,000-person stadium, when you're doing that much work on the outside of the ring like went on in Triple H Lesnar, that is a little difficult to see from your seats. And even though you're watching it on those big screens, It kind of doesn't come off as good. And like you said, Joe, there was that burnout from Punk versus Undertaker.
That was the match of the night, obviously.
I am, you know, the biggest Triple H fan. And even for me, obviously, I was very happy and going nuts for the entrances and enjoyed the match and was very much into it. But you could tell that the whole crowd was just, we needed to calm down a little bit. But, I mean,
well, at the same time, everyone knows the match isn't going to end 2 minutes into it. So this match starts and everyone just kind of sitting there quiet at first.
Right, exactly.
They had just popped for Taker versus Punk, which was, like I said, the match of the night, had a great ending to it, and now we have this next main event style match, and the fans are down. We know it's not going to end in 5 minutes,
right.
So it takes the fans another, you know, 20 minutes to get back into this match because they smell the end coming. It's very tough for three matches like that to follow each other and keep the fans.
No, and when's the last time that happened? Like three matches like that following each other back to back and back at Mania. I can't remember, honestly, because last year they did such an excellent job of spreading out the three main events. Obviously, the Punk title match versus Jericho, the Hell in a Cell, and the Rock and Cena. So planning-wise, I'd say maybe they did a little better job 28 because they had those buffer matches in between.
Yes.
But what I was going to say before about Dolph was I thought that the fact that, like you said, Joe, everything was so predictable, and that has to be the single biggest complaint coming out of that pay-per-view all day
long. And it was just the way the pay-per-view was booked in general. That's what our complaint was. It was just so,
I mean, even to us, I mean, and if you watch the WrestleMania pre-show.com pre-show with us on Saturday, you know, obviously, Fandango beating Jericho was predictable. We even predicted the roll-up win. I mean, we knew where that was going.
And sadly, well, I'll jump onto that match. I think that match could have been way better.
Could have been way better.
Fandango also gets a win kind of out of nowhere.
So
it was a badly, like I said, another just badly, like, cold match. Whoever put that match together.
Not enough offense for Fandango.
I didn't like the chemistry in that match at all. I thought their run-ins and their chemistry on Raw had been better than this.
I agree.
And first of all, I also have to say that Fandango, Chris Jericho, you know, where was Fandango's offense? He showed the side with a little more attitude, and he comes to WrestleMania and he kind of gets beat the whole match.
He gets
a couple moves in.
Like you're seeing there, three guillotine leg drops he went for, which I thought was a little extreme for a, what, 8 or 9 minute match that it ended up being, and I would have liked to see some other different things go on. But obviously, I did like the finish. I really enjoyed the Walls Jericho into the roll-up. I thought that was perfect for the situation. But Joe, on a show where Mark Henry beating Ryback was really the only legitimate surprise that came out of that whole card, I don't see where anybody thinks that the Money in the Bank wouldn't have made a really huge, lasting moment on that card. And I thought it was great. Some people actually were a little surprised that Miz won the IC title, which I thought was a good pre-show match.
So did I. I thought it was a good pre-show match.
And a good match.
And the match on Raw was even better. But again, going back to the rematch mania and the predictability, for all the matches that we saw, really the main events, definitely the main events, worked really well, and I thought they all had good endings and good finishes to the matches. And I think that's good. I mean, it was all what we expected. But, you know, I thought we got good matches.
The three main events were all rematches. Even Punk and Undertaker have worked together for the World Heavyweight Championship at one point. So we said it is going to be entertaining WrestleMania, good rematches, and better matches than the ones before them. And in other words, Triple H and Brock Lesnar absolutely were better than they were at SummerSlam. The Rock and John Cena, 10 times
better than their first match.
Than last year in Miami. So, and obviously Punk and Undertaker are better than anything they've done before. So I really, really, really enjoyed it. Joe, what I wanted to get into before you, and obviously planning is what we love to talk about, the creative side of the business. Question on everybody's mind, was the Dolph Ziggler cash-in scheduled for Monday night the whole time by Vince and creative going into this weekend, or was this given to the fans as a lollipop to shut up from your whining from all day Monday after what happened at WrestleMania?
I'm going to say that it was definitely discussed right after Mania, because I really thought it was coming after Mania. If they did have it at Mania, I thought it was going to come the night after Raw. But I really think what pushed it over was the fact that Raw had a lot of backlash. They had a lot of the complaints about visuals online, complaints about seeing things with the pillars in the way. And, of course, they had a lot of complaints, and they were going crazy rewriting when they found out The Rock wasn't going to be there with a legit injury. So while I think it was definitely on their minds to do this, it was definitely thrown in there once that happened. Once there was no Rock, once there was the backlash from WrestleMania, it was boom, let's go ahead. Push the button on Dolph Ziggler. Smart move, right move. It should have been done already.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm glad that this brings an end to the whole conversation of that I just could not stand, because me, I know me and you were so against all the rumors of he's going to wait a full year and it's going to go until he has no time left. I mean, why, when you're holding a briefcase and you literally can pick the most opportune time to do this, would you end up getting stuck, you know, that you have to use it? It just didn't make any sense. And I just saw it coming. I predicted WrestleMania. I still think they should have pulled the trigger on that. I know a lot of people who write for WrestleZone and other websites also agree with me there. But nonetheless, what you're seeing right now, absolute mark-out moment for me and Joe Omega, and we're very, very happy. You know what I'm really happy about, and I'm probably going to be the first person to say this, and all the internet fans can shoot me if they want to, but I'm really happy that the two world champions are John Cena and Dolph Ziggler right now. I think that is awesome, because I think the two of them are so head and shoulders above pretty much everybody else on the current roster. I just don't, you know, Punk's great, don't get me wrong, but he's not superstar level like Cena, and I just see Ziggler getting up really, really high in his career.
We have a question in the chat room from, Jir Binks, and he goes, does he actually get a legit respectable run with the title, or will they have him go right out and drop to Del Rio or someone and lose it?
No.
Big plans with the team for Cam Ziggler, it's
like. Yeah, I think I think Ziggler will hold it without a doubt through Extreme Rules and maybe even into the next month, also in the June pay-per-view. I believe it's called Payback this year.
I think, yes,
Payback. So I would expect him to make it safely through both of those. Maybe somebody, you know, cashes in on him at Money in the Bank when he's holding the title this year in July. I mean, maybe that could happen.
You know what I like about both champions? You said that you were happy that John Cena is the world champion and that Dolph Ziggler is a world champion, WWE champion, world champion, is that they're both very different. And they're both over with the crowd in different ways.
Yep.
While Cena may not be over with cheers, he gets the most crowd reaction, whether you like it or not, whether you think he sucks in the ring or not. He does a good job out there on the mic, and he goes in the wrestling ring, and half the people want to see him lose, and half the people want to see him win, a.k.a. he gets a reaction every time he's out there.
And
Dolph Ziggler's over all the way now. Most of the fans cheer him, except the little kids.
And you know what else? It's a really good representation about how WWE actually uses those two specific belts, because you have your really established top babyface star holding the company title, WWE title, a la Hulk Hogan, Bret Hart, these types of reigns. And then you have your rookie, almost not rookie, but you know, he's
young, up-and-coming face. Up-and-coming, could be a face of the company.
Top main eventer who's now holding that belt that's second to the top one, that obviously we all know that the mid-carders use to get up to that next level. So I think I just don't see better planning than this right now. And I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago to you, Joe, that I would like to see a time where this would be the two of them as the champions. I think that would be awesome. So I'm really, really happy of where we are at right now. I think Extreme Rules is going to come off as a good pay-per-view. We don't know, obviously, where they're going with it for sure right now. But I just – you can see – things are definitely brewing in the WWE. I like some creative changes they've made over the past couple months. It seems that we are a long way away from WrestleMania 27 2 years ago now, which what seemed like it was very bottom of the barrel WWE entertainment. I mean, we love The Miz, don't get me wrong, but it's just him versus John Cena is not a WrestleMania main event. And, they used The Rock way too much on that program. And so say what you want about WrestleMania 29 on Sunday, but I'm going to defend it because I knew what I was going to get walking in there. It is an international super show.
It is the one show, basically,
if you're a casual wrestling fan, maybe the only show of the year that you watch is WrestleMania.
Which is why the matches they put on were the matches they put on.
And that's why P. Diddy came out to do a couple of songs. And they put that match order. And me and Joe are literally calling the match order in the crowd because we know what the hell is going to happen. Because that is the right way to book it. And then you have your super hardcore WrestleMania weekend, Monday Night Raw ticket holders to cater to and put that kind of
that shit aren't spending the big, big bucks on WrestleMania like the casual fan that has money just for WrestleMania. They get a great show. The Raws after Mania have been excellent.
Yeah.
Past 2 years.
You know what? No, Joe. See, this is why I did not even ask you if you wanted to go to the Izod Center with me Monday because, and you know what? I'm not mad. I enjoyed it at home. It was good. We were definitely tired from Mania.
Definitely tired from Mania, but I would have loved to be part of that.
I would have loved to be there too, but I definitely made the right decision because based off
last year.
I thought last year sucked because all they had was Brock Lesnar jumping John Cena last year.
That was their big ace in the hole for the show.
Obviously, we enjoyed, you know, Punk versus Mark Henry those 2 weeks after Mania last year, which we always put over as great matches. And by the way, let's get right into that. Mark Henry, man, how high is WWE apparently on him? Sometimes you don't notice these kinds of things, but you give him that surprise win at WrestleMania. You now have 2 years in a row where your WWE champion the next night after WrestleMania is fighting Mark Henry for the title. So I think it's great. I think he's a great wrestler. I really like what he brings to the table now. Our buddy Chris, who came to WrestleMania with us, is a very casual fan now. He really hasn't watched in about 10 years every week.
He hasn't seen Mark Henry since he was Sexual Assault.
Right, and he, you know, didn't understand why the hell we were so excited to see a Mark Henry match or him in general. And, you know, after watching a little, I think he actually did watch a little Raw Monday too, he's getting it. You know what I mean? He's seeing that Mark Henry is not the level performer he was years ago. He's definitely up there now. And let's bring that into the whole scenario of what happened Monday night, Joe. I mean, first of all, let's get to The Rock. Injured, okay? Apparently, Tori's abdominal muscle doing a rock bottom, he tweeted earlier, yes, actually, that he thought it was during that move. So he goes home. Apparently, there's chaos backstage Monday. You'd never know it because the show was pretty freaking good. Never mind that.
Happened more often.
I thought it was a great show.
Is this how all the shows are going to be when The Rock isn't on it?
Oh, well, forget it. And basically, you know, do you believe that they would have done that Brock Lesnar jumping of The Rock on Raw if he had been there? Because, you know, Dirt Sheets get things, and we respect the Dirt Sheets. Obviously, you're getting some info for us. But, well, obviously, I'm a big believer that a lot of this stuff comes out that's not totally true. So, I mean, do you think that would have went on Monday night? I mean, it's kind of tough to call on that one.
I don't know. I think it doesn't really make sense because Brock Lesnar is just coming off a loss at WrestleMania to Triple H. So now he still is a big, tough guy that goes and tries to bully people and jump people, and then, okay, jump me and beat me up, and then I'm going to beat you at the pay-per-view. And right now, that's what I think is a problem with Brock Lesnar, is that now Paul Heyman's like, oh, you know, I got Brock Lesnar and stuff like that, but now people are like, all right, what's he going to do? He's going to cause some havoc on Monday Night Raw, and he's going to go to the main, and he's going to go to the pay-per-view, and he's going to lose. So what kind of backing, like, does Brock Lesnar have? Like, yeah, I beat up Triple H, I did this, and then I went and lost to Mania. I'm a realist at wrestling, and that stuff like that, I think it affects Brock Lesnar's character a little bit. People still want to see Brock Lesnar, but at the same time, he can't go out there and, like, look at, like, this big, badass, tough guy when he just lost to Triple H at Mania.
I agree, and I think the best thing for them was to keep both Triple H and Brock Lesnar off the show. I really liked it. And, you know, I wanted to talk about Mania a little bit now, actually. It kind of seems like, I wrote this down earlier, WrestleMania, it's got a formula to it now, and they're not breaking from it. And I really kind of like where it's going because it seems like you want to put on that international show that everybody obviously needs to see, something more broad than what the hardcore fans need to see. And, you know, you get those few big-time main event spotlight matches when you get your veterans, your established superstars, and you put them over to sell tickets to 80,000 arenas.
The part-timers.
And you put them over to sell out these big stadiums and get a million buys on pay-per-view. And I think it works really well, and obviously you get to showcase a lot of your undercard talent and the undercard and get some good mixes with them going. But they're doing that, and then they're having a great next night of showcasing more of the undercard guys and giving them
the
that
guys that are there every
and
day.
Letting the veterans interact with them to give them the rub. And I saw no better example of that the other night than what happened with The Undertaker. Goes into Mania, has an epic match with CM Punk, and the next night, and I'm sure you marked out like me, Joe, you know, Taker is like mid-third sentence and Shield music hits, and wow.
You know me with the Shield,
that
I believe.
Was just...
I believe in the Shield.
That was just a cool moment right there. I was really, really excited.
And again, like, since day one, when the Shield came in, like, wow, they must be really high on these guys for the spots and the guys that they've been working with.
Absolutely.
Now Undertaker may be in their program, maybe for a 3-on-3 again.
I want to see a 3-on-3 in Extreme Rules.
At Extreme Rules.
I definitely want to see.
But who wouldn't want to see 3-on-3 with the Brothers of Destruction?
And
their little Billy Goat.
How epic was that shot of them three on the ramp with their arms?
As soon as I saw the picture of it, I tweeted it. Everyone had to see it.
It's a moment.
Great Daniel Bryan moment, by the way. You better get that thing framed.
Also, by the way, I thought it was really nice on Raw that they gave 3MB and Santino and Ryder and R-Truth that six-man match, and it was not interrupted without anybody else jumping them or anything that a lot of people thought, myself included, that maybe that match would get wrecked by somebody like Brock for instance, since they didn't have The Rock there to jump anymore. But they let them get their little tag match. They didn't get to work Mania. I thought that was class. I thought it also gave the crowd a chance to calm down a little bit and save itself for other moments on the Raw show, which is great to do.
It's called booking. It's called smart booking.
Obviously came over.
Also on Raw was the tag match, the eight-man tag that was scheduled for WrestleMania with tons of funk.
And that match right there, Joe, it showed me how much fun the crowd came to have, because they're dancing to the Brodus Clay theme and they're really into that match.
Those are the kind of crowds I like.
Yeah, they're marking for Naomi doing the Hurricane Rana. You know,
she's a very good wrestler.
It showed that they were going to be interested whatever they were watching that night. And I thought, I mean, man, was that crowd awesome, really, right? And I wish that some people were awake like that Sunday night almost, because it seemed like, you know, I'm sorry, I'm going to defend the product. It seemed like there were a little too many casual fans at WrestleMania, you know what I mean? And not people like us. Like, at 80,000 people, how many people were like us?
That's what happened. You got to think, you know, who's got the money? Who's going to put, you know, the money out for the WrestleMania tickets? It's the casual fans. It's maybe the guys in the suits or something like that that want to go and see, ooh, I heard The Rock wrestling. Let's go watch The Rock. Oh, I heard Brock Lesnar from UFC wrestling. Let's go see Brock Lesnar from UFC. And also, it's a big stadium.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize how big it is.
Very big.
That we were sitting in the stands, and I don't know about anybody at home, but we couldn't hear the wrestlers really making sounds hitting the ring. We couldn't hear anything. Like, usually you hear the mat slap. We had to watch Kyoto's hand go down for one, two.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't hear the mat slap. That's how big it was. You couldn't really hear anything from that ring. It was almost like watching TV on mute. It was a little tough. So I mean, again, defending the fans now. For a fan like that in this 80,000 person arena, it was a little tough to follow. And a lot of people said they watched on the big screens at MetLife Stadium.
Sure.
Sometimes these stadium shows for the casual fan kind of screw the everyday fan.
Yeah. Well, we watched half of the Hunter and Lesnar match on the screens. We had to. I mean, you know, so much stuff was outside by the barricades and you know, the table area when he threw them through, obviously. So, I mean, it is a little difficult to see those kinds of things. It was.
And yes, we were on the floor, Jazz. We were pretty much on the floor.
Well, we were
of MetLife Stadium.
I'll tell you right now, you know, if I'm looking straight ahead, I'm looking at the ring, and to my right would be the entranceway. And we were basically diagonal, perfectly to the corner. So there was the floor right in front of us, the flat floor, and we were about six rows up. And I'd say basically perfectly level with the ring.
Yes.
Pretty much. And I, by the way, loved our seats. MetLife Stadium, awesome. Happy to be part of that crowd, by the way, because, I mean, Joe, you are now part of the crowd that is second to your all-time favorite WrestleMania.
Which made it a little more special for me.
But you know what? Let's get into a little WrestleMania match reviews going on here right now. I actually really like the opener. I'm really happy the Shield won.
I like the opener.
I thought the ending went over good with Big Show, Sheamus, and Orton. I don't know how much reaction they expected to get from Big Show hitting both of them, because he was just a heel, 2 weeks ago? So it really, to me, it wasn't like, I remember so many people were like, oh my God, Big Show turned heel. Sorry, guys. He was faced for like 2 seconds. You know what I mean? It's not a heel turn. But anyway, I did like the ending. I thought it was good.
I agree. I thought it was a good match.
You know, and getting into something else quick now.
Surprising opener.
Yeah.
Surprising opener.
I was happy, though. I thought that was a good move. For the second year in a row, WrestleMania starts off with Sheamus' music. So, I mean, that was very good. And Ryback, Mark Henry, what did you think you were going to get with this?
I thought I was going to get more than we got. I was not a fan of overall.
Agree. I thought both of them are definitely capable of more than this. Very shocked still that Mark Henry got the win. But then again, it goes to show me how WWE values him. It also goes to show me, by the way, that this might not be a straight-up John Cena versus Ryback match at Extreme Rules. I mean, if you have Mark Henry beat Ryback clean Sunday, then you have them all involved in that segment. Obviously, Mark Henry fought Cena, where Ryback jumped Cena and held the title up. It seems to me that you're keeping Mark Henry involved in this, not to mention he lost by countout and didn't even get pinned by Cena. So I'm thinking maybe this is not so much, and this is one of my topics for tonight, is Ryback really, has he gone heel? And I don't think so, Joe. I think this is more about him wanting to be the WWE champion and going through whoever he needs to do that and being a competitor, which is something that I ask a little more of, you know, WWE once in a while. I like that.
Well, in WWE, I think right now after Monday night, and I wouldn't mind if every crowd was like this. I doubt it's going to be, but that crowd Monday night was excellent. But right now in WWE, even before the crowd, I don't think heel and face even matters that much. Just let the guy go out there and be a gimmick, and he either gets cheered or he gets booed. He either wants to win the match, and he'll go after whoever he wants, wherever whoever he's booked against. Yes, you can play the old heel versus face thing with some characters, like Santino versus a Cesaro or something like that.
Right.
Those are like, you know, sure. Heel faces. Swagger is like a heel, but he gets the boost.
It worked with Punk. But guess what? Also.
If that right there, what you're seeing, is Ryback, let him go out there and be Ryback. He doesn't have to go and bash fans now just because he beat up John Cena.
Good call.
That is the WWE's version of heel. Just because you beat John Cena up doesn't mean you're automatically heel. Half the people probably like you because you did something like that. Just like R-Truth when he did it.
Joe, valid point. The words were coming out of my mouth when you finished. If you are going to literally want to make somebody a heel, the worst person to make them jump is John Cena, especially the Raw after Mania crowd. No way, man. You don't do that. How over was Lesnar last year when he F5 Cena? I mean, are you kidding me? Was there anybody not popping in that arena? So Ryback, and I thought they worked that to their advantage. I thought that it seemed almost, and Dr. Tom Pritchard, I'm curious to see what he has to say about this, because he said in the car with me the other night, WrestleMania weekend, he says, if Ryback loses to Henry on Sunday, he saw Ryback going way down.
Yes, he did.
He felt like WWE was going to kind of dump him out if Henry actually won that match. So now I'm taking that into consideration. Obviously, the doctor knows what he's talking about. And now I'm watching Raw, and I'm like, holy crap, they just threw Ryback right back into this. And now he's holding up the WWE Championship on the end of the Raw title. So I'm like, wow, like this is totally, like, didn't happen the way we thought. Although, when Ryback got his WrestleMania moment and shell-shocked Mark Henry at the end of the match,
it still felt like they were
keeping him into it, definitely. So I'm interested to see where this goes. I'm also interested to see how they book Extreme Rules now, because potentially we're setting up like two different triple threats right now. I still see Mark Henry involved in this feud. I don't know if I see Cena and Ryback one-on-one. I think I can see Vince saying, well, I think we need to wait to capitalize on that one-on-one maybe for a bigger show. So I would be happy to see.
Rules was pretty big last year, though.
Yeah, no. You're 100% right. But then again, we've been having these random pay-per-views every year that steal a year.
And it looks like Taker may be at Extreme Rules this year.
It's looking
pretty big. But I'll agree with you. I don't think Mark Henry is totally out of this picture.
Yeah.
I don't think Mark Henry is done with the Ryback even.
But then again, does Vince do two big triple threats at the pay-per-view? Because I see Sheamus and Orton and Big Show going to a triple threat also at Extreme Rules. So I'm curious how they're going to work that, because they don't use these triple threats too often anymore. And when they do, there's usually not two of them. So I'm thinking something might happen, fortune telling here, creative wise, that they might not have that triple threat between Big Show and Sheamus and Orton. And I would bet more that it would be Henry.
Yeah,
Henry and Ryback.
I was just going to say, they may not go the triple threat way with Orton, Sheamus, and the Big Show. I really don't think people are invested too much in any one of those three guys to want to even see that match.
You know, I'd like to see maybe, if I was going to write it personally, I'd like to maybe hook Big Show up with another heel and have a two-on-two tag match maybe, and then at the end of that, you can have Orton and Sheamus obviously not get along and make them break like that, and that could lead to their singles program. I think that would be a good way to do it also. You could even look for that to happen on a future Raw in the next couple weeks leading up to Extreme Rules. That's some basic WWE booking for what they're looking to do right here. So I think that would be really cool. But I'm actually really excited. I think they have a lot of like interesting scenarios going forward. And, you know, getting back to the WrestleMania match review, you know, like you said before, Joe, I'm not getting the Fandango Jericho yet. Actually, next one would be Team Hell No versus Ziggler and Big E Langston. Big E, good ring worker, by the way. I thought he did good. He held up his end of the match. Obviously, Ziggler is the talent on that end. And I absolutely loved the tease in the beginning with AJ and Ziggler.
You gotta love the play.
That was awesome. Absolutely awesome. I'm sure all three of them involved there just genuinely had a smile about doing that.
This was a good little match. As soon as it was over, I was like, these are the kind of good little matches you have to have.
Oh, yeah.
Not too long. People, you know, it's not the big match. The tag team titles aren't the most interesting thing for people. But Dolph Ziggler, he's very interesting. Daniel Bryan, people want to see him too. It was a good little match. Sadly, with the time restrictions, it couldn't go a tiny bit longer. But I was satisfied with what we got. Of course, we know they could do more. these are two of the futures of the business, Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler.
And we were obviously all hoping that that wouldn't be the end of us seeing Dolph Ziggler that
sadly
night,
you know? Or AJ, because I like seeing her too.
That's okay, but I think from here on, we can expect to see great things from Dolph Ziggler at these big shows like WrestleMania from now on. I really do think he's going to be in a great position a year from now. I just don't see a guy like that dropping the ball, you know? Seems like he keeps himself in great
shape. But again,
shape.
Frank, I'm going to go back. I'm sorry to cut you off. I'm going to go back to heels and faces here. CM Punk was at the top of his game, dropping pipe bombs, doing this and doing that, saying whatever he wanted to say. But again, when he was at the top of his game, they changed him into a legit heel. Or WWE, they change him into WWE heel, where he's got to start bashing fans. Right.
Well, that was the whole
and then being bitter and stuff like that. Instead of just letting him do what he was doing that got him over in the first place, and letting the fans decide who they want to boo and cheer, which is what they've been doing now for the past few years anyway.
Right.
So why do you have to change what made the guy good? So hopefully Dolph Ziggler doesn't change any of his arrogance, doesn't stop being a smug little jerk backstage, still makes out with the girl, has the stealing your girl and the show t-shirts. Don't make him go full-on face or start helping out John Cena. Just let him do what he's going to do. If he's going to wrestle John Cena one night, let him wrestle John Cena one night. If he's going to wrestle CM Punk the next night, who's a heel like he is, let him do that. Just let the guys do what got him to the dance.
Yeah, I agree.
When that stops working, then you can change it.
I agree. And he had a lot of losses leading up to this. Kevin Kelly wrote a great article on WrestleZone today about the whole cash-in scenario this weekend. And he also felt that it should have happened at WrestleMania. And he felt that it was kind of a snub to the investment that they have in Dolph Ziggler by not doing that. But he brought up some interesting stats. Ziggler has more losses in the year than anybody else. He's jobbed 13 more times than anybody else on the list even compared to. And he still ended up in a huge, huge moment. So I think that and what Chris Jericho's been doing.
Well, like we said, that briefcase was like a shield for Dolph Ziggler.
You can do anything with the guy. He's just going to jump right back in. By the way, WrestleReaction.net, you're watching live on there. Please check back all the time for episodes, articles. And if you're not following me and Joe personally on Twitter, I know you all follow the WrestleReaction Twitter, @Wrestle_React, if you don't follow it now. But if you're not following us, what the hell are you doing? @VJoeOmega, @FManzo3, get us some more followers. We write some great stuff on there, into some movies also. So we always put out some good stuff on Twitter. Definitely check it out. We can open up the phone lines for the last couple minutes. Maybe a couple people want to call in. 323-300.
I'll put it in the chat.
5350. Give us a call. Call in. Love to hear what you think about Raw and WrestleMania. And, you know, by the way, I wanted to mention this also. The pre-show and post-show concept of WrestleMania with Jim Ross and Dusty Rhodes and Kofi Kingston, I thought that was a great idea. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see any of it. I was sitting near where they were set up, so I got to go over and check it out a little bit while it was going on. But I just thought that it brings that great big event feel. Like, it extends outside of WWE to things that other big sports promotions and live events do. And I thought it was really good. And obviously, like you said, that is the one event where you have the most casual fans tuning in. So anybody who needed a little more info than the fans like us, they had it there. And they had a good reaction hour afterwards. So I thought that that was a great idea. I'd like to see that done more often on big pay-per-views.
I liked it.
Why not, man?
It gave it a real sport feel to it. Sport.
It's a big event. And people have been talking about it all leading up to it. So why would you not talk about it the hour leading up to it also and get everybody pumped for it? And obviously, you got quality guys doing that, and I'm glad to see Kofi Kingston got something to do for tonight. And that goes to show you how much they care about him, because somebody likes him backstage to give him that.
You know what's funny is that when Fandango had his match with Jericho, I'm like, you know, I think maybe Fandango could have had the same kind of match with Kofi Kingston, because just it seemed that it wasn't as big as a match I thought it was going to be.
Seemed generic.
Seemed generic, and after Jericho's great entrance, and even Fandango had a great entrance,
epic entrance
with all the girls. And then I'm like, well, he could have just had the same kind of generic match with a nice victory over someone like Kofi Kingston. And just because I felt like it wasn't looked at as important on that WrestleMania card.
I agree.
And the way the match was put together, didn't feel like it was put together to be the really good match that I think they could have. And then, of course, the next night on Raw, he wrestles Kofi Kingston.
Right. And it was kind of funny, Joe, because almost every other match it exceeded the build, because obviously we complained about the build to WrestleMania for a couple of weeks that it wasn't that stellar for a lot of these feuds. And Jericho Fandango was the one thing that kind of came out of nowhere a little late to the card. And it really had people talking, because you had this debut of this character. You had Chris Jericho willing to work with him, which is obviously a big nod. And you see, you know, and they've had some great encounters over the past couple weeks with, you know, jumping each other. So I thought that had a really strong build going into Mania. I mean, you had Justin LaVar did a show on NBC the other day, and he's only talked about two matches in the few minutes that he had. One is the Undertaker Street match. The other one's Fandango. That's how important this was. And that's me right there. I'm saying, wow, this is really, like, getting over it. People are talking about this. And then, Joe, you go out there and you have this little kind of good but mediocre match. And I just felt like that
could I think Fandango could have, and that the point I'm making is that, like, he should have been with Jericho, who is a much bigger name, who deserves a spot on any Mania. He does the right thing all the time, has a great entrance. My point I was making was that Fandango could have went out and had that same match with anybody. I don't think it was up to snuff with Chris Jericho and Fandango can do.
Totally agree. Just getting into the
We have a caller.
We do have a caller. Who is live on the air with us? What's your name? Who is this?
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Who's there? You're on the air. Dropped.
Nice talking, man.
Okay. Save it for next time. Next. So, okay. So we just did that, and that's the whole undercard. We're going to start the top card now. And like I said earlier, World Heavyweight Championship match, Alberto Del Rio versus Jack Swagger. Joe, I want you to watch this again. We're going to talk about it later on me and you. But I mean, you know me. When do I give Del Rio props? Rare. Not that I hate him, but not one of my favorites.
You know what I've actually told one of Del Rio's best little matches was? The little match he had with Ziggler last night before he lost.
Oh, it was great. It really was.
But again, you saying, now getting back to being serious, you're saying about this Swagger Del Rio match, what I felt really took away from anyone giving a crap about the match was everybody wanted to see Dolph Ziggler.
But
now, wait, hold on. But now what's going to happen with these two guys?
Yeah.
Because neither one have a belt.
That's a good
point. Nobody cares about either one of them.
And I still think they'll do a month's work together. I really do. I could see maybe Del Rio gets his mandatory title shot. Maybe they use that for a Raw instead of Extreme Rules, and Swagger costs him out of it, and they keep that feud going between the two of them. Probably where they're going to go with that. Where do you move Dolph off to now? That's what I'm curious. Who does he work with?
Well, I mean, I know a lot of people in the chat room are calling for an RVD return because apparently he may have signed. I'm not sure. I haven't
took a picture with RVD Sunday, by the way.
Yeah,
right before WrestleMania.
He did. So that
awesome guy.
So say he signs and people want to see him. That could be cool. Christian's coming back. We've seen the good work that he did with Randy Orton. I mean, I'm sure he could do just as, you know, if not better with Dolph Ziggler. To have that as a SmackDown World Title program,
there are
a couple of different guys coming in, but I'm gonna say Del Rio and Swagger may do a month's work together, maybe one of them try to go for the World Heavyweight Title for Dolph. Right now, Dolph is he's a marked man. I think people are gonna be gunning for him. Different people.
By the way, I want to throw a quick shout out. Toby Michaels from Scotland has been keeping us up to date. Big fan of VOW and us, been keeping us up to date on what's going on with all this Fandangoing over across the pond.
Toby Michaels.
And apparently, as of a few hours ago, on the United Kingdom iTunes, Fandango's theme was number 13. It was that hot. So there's some crazy stuff going on over there in the UK and in Scotland. And I'm glad to hear that because it's kind of cool to see.
I'm not sure. Did I see that it was number 11 now? And, Abdul the Botcher, who's from UK, says it's now number 11.
Number 11.
And I saw that earlier. And he
love our UK fans. It. Thanks for
love
staying
the UK.
And watching us. Really, really.
And, of course, I'm a big British Bulldog fan.
Want to throw out a couple of shout-outs. Chris Cash, thanks for coming in and spending the weekend with us. Had an awesome WrestleMania weekend. Dr. Tom Pritchard. Jordan Colson, Vegas Fuel. Guys, seriously, not an energy drink person. You need to check out Vegas Fuel. It's available at Rite Aid and now GNC all around the nation. Pretty good price. It's like probably 60% of the price of Red Bull, and it's really good stuff. I actually can drink it myself. I have a little blood pressure problem, so if anybody's worried about any of that, it's not too bad. It won't leave you laying on the ground. I promise you that. And it definitely kept us wired all WrestleMania weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Tom was loving that.
I'll drink it all. You follow Dr. Tom Pritchard at Dr.
Tom
Pritchard. Follow Chris Cash if you don't at Reality of Chris, and follow Jordan Colson at Vegas Fuel TV.
Absolutely. We had a great time with you guys. And by the way, quickly, just to put it over, Pro Wrestling Syndicate, New Jersey. I went Friday night, hung out with those guys. excellent, excellent show. Please, if you're in the tri-state area and you ever get around to seeing a show from them, go. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Quality workers, great stars that they bring in to do appearances, and it's just about the best indie show you will ever see in your life. I can guarantee you that, because I'm not even that big of an indie fan, and I will not miss one of these shows, so you really, really need to check it out. But we had an amazing WrestleMania experience, and thank you to JT Pruitt, the first ever Wrestle Reaction fan who's actually come across country and actually met us and hung out with us for WrestleMania weekend. Awesome kid, by
JT was awesome.
At JT Pruitt, follow him too. But getting back to Mania, Joe, now the three big matches, the big ones. And
the predictable big match.
And by the way, Undertaker.
But predictable and well worked.
Well worked. Well worth it. Awesome matches. I will go back and watch all three of these all the time. But Undertaker versus CM Punk, the most predictable match on the card, still ends up being super exciting. The fans were really hot for it. Whether or not you were chanting Undertaker or CM Punk, you were doing something in that building.
Who were you chanting for?
I was chanting for Undertaker.
Who was I chanting for?
CM Punk.
CM Punk.
Gotta go
with the underdog.
I had to root for Taker.
I rooted for both of them.
It's been like 4 years of me rooting for people against him, so I had to root for Taker one time because I do like Undertaker. He's awesome. But that was a great match. By the way, now I officially get to say this because the Undertaker worked WrestleMania 29. So to all of you idiots who last year down in Miami for the whole WrestleMania weekend are like, oh my God, it's end of an era. He's never going to fight again. Right here.
He's been waiting a year to say
seriously,
that.
Like enough. I mean, even my fiance could not take it. She's just like, Frank, seriously, just they don't get it. And even Jim Ross afterwards, like, if this is Undertaker's last match, why the hell wouldn't WWE promote the crap out of it, okay, and just make a huge audience out of it and make it as big of an attraction as Rock and Cena was? So you were a little off if you thought that, and Taker's going to keep working WrestleMania is definitely through 30, I'll tell you that. He might go out then, but he worked another one, and I was right, and you were wrong. So end of an era just means no more Triple H and Undertaker, okay? Not that he's retired. So, by the way, getting back into it, very good match, and I know you loved it also. And super everybody was on.
Match of the night.
Yeah, we were on our toes, man. It was awesome. It really was.
And that just goes to show you that while people are complaining about the predictability of WrestleMania, that the most predictable match where you knew who was going to win could still go out there and be the best match on the card. The workers did a phenomenal job. Undertaker, CM Punk, hats off to both of them. And like we've been saying, the matches may be predictable, but these guys are main event guys who you knew were going to bring it. We have a caller on the line. Caller, which name and where are you from?
I'm from Phoenix.
We have from Phoenix. What's your name?
Ram.
What's going on, man?
What would you like to talk about?
Dodge Ram.
What would you like to talk about?
Well, a couple things, man. First of all, like, the Intercontinental title not being on WrestleMania, I just think is, like, a travesty, man. I mean, that's one of the most important historic titles we have. It should have at least been a card on the title, it should have been a match on the card, let alone, you know, who's holding the title is a big issue. You know, like, the whole Swagger Del Rio angle could have actually been worked through that title. Like, Del Rio could have been an Intercontinental champion, and Swagger could have came back as a U.S. champion with his whole U.S. gimmick and tried to unify the title and try to, like, actually eliminate the title. There's something right there. I want to know what you thought about that.
I can see what you mean, and I know some people were a little angry about that, but then again,
I'm always angry about that. I'm a big IC title guy.
I'm kind of into booking and scheduling, and I really appreciate like where things are placed on certain cards. So I kind of thought it was good that The Miz and Barrett ended up on the pre-show, and then I was even more happy about it when The Miz actually won the belt off him, because a lot of people were predicting that Barrett was going to retain, and I just think, like, at a pre-show, especially for WrestleMania, if you switch the IC title to start the night before you even get on the air, I found that kind of cool. I do get your frustration, but you have to understand, and this is not what we like, this is just the way it is, the IC title is not the IC title anymore. The World Heavyweight Championship is.
Yeah.
And it's just not that important anymore. I mean, of course, we always will think so, but it's not that number two title anymore, and they're not going to book it like that.
Yeah, our pal Doug O'Mac from Ringside Matters has been saying it for a while. World Heavyweight Championship, you have to look at the IC title now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I want to actually just ask your guys' opinion. I mean, I understand it's the way it is, but, like, I mean, I'm not just picking some of my favorite guys, but, like, Rick Martel, he's one of the greatest. I mean, there's a lot of gimmicks out there right now that will never compare to Rick Martel, and he never had an Intercontinental title, you know what I mean? So the people holding it, I don't know, it should be somewhat good. I mean, I think Del Rio, you can still have him hold it and then eventually be a world champion again, but you know what I mean? But that's my issue there. The Undertaker and CM Punk match, I mean, I don't mean to beat a dead drum, but Sting, man. I mean, if like we just talked about the Intercontinental title, it's the way it is, and money plays into it, but there's money to be made with the Sting match. It's like Mayweather-Pacquiao. People are going to watch this if they do Sting-Undertaker. It is the Mayweather-Pacquiao wrestling, so I wanted to get your thoughts on that, too.
Oh, yeah, thank you, and we really appreciate the call. I obviously, I think anybody who's a wrestling fan would love to see Taker versus Sting. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but that is a pretty sick idea.
Sting's got to stop signing with TNA.
And obviously, you know, 100% right, Punk and Undertaker was just a really, really awesome match. We got to wrap up, so we're going to finish up quick. Triple H and Brock Lesnar, Joe, I really enjoyed it. I'm a Triple H fan. I know some people thought it was a little lacking, but then again, like I'm going to say, it was a little hard to see some of those outside spots for a lot of the people in the arena, and it was immediately after the biggest reaction of a match that we got all night on the Undertaker and CM Punk. I thought it needed a match in between. It definitely felt like it did, or at least, you know, maybe you could have put the P. Diddy concert in between those two matches instead. You know what I mean? So you just needed something there to separate.
You needed the breakup.
It really did burn us out. But by the way, I just want to say, holy mother of God, Brock Lesnar looks huge.
Yeah, he was looking good at WrestleMania.
Wow.
And you know what? I like the ending to this match a lot more.
On the traps, man. My God. You like the ending, right?
I like the ending of this match a lot more.
And by the way, as a Triple H fan, I'm sitting there, and he's got Lesnar locked in a Kimura lock, and I'm screaming, no. Don't tap, please God, because I didn't even want Triple H to win like that, because that would have been horrible to have a UFC guy with his record and his, you know, career that everybody defines him for to tap out to a WWE guy. That can never happen. You can take the pinfall, but do not tap out, especially Triple H, who's not a submission guy. That's just no good. So I like how the match came off. I think people are going to appreciate it more as they go back and watch it.
I actually can't wait to watch. I want to see how it is on TV, because I thought it came off really, really well there.
Michael Cole, by the way, awesome the other night. I felt Mania 29 was his night that he cemented his place, his legacy as an announcer to be able to call epic stuff and really put it into WrestleMania.
Well, they got the chant at Monday Night Raw.
Hell yeah. Main event, I'm going to get unpopular, you know, harassment for this, but I'm going to tell you something right now. I loved Taker and Punk. It was amazing. It may be the match of the night for all of you. The Rock vs. John Cena was my match of the night.
Really?
My favorite. I loved it. I was looking forward to it all year since the bell rang in Miami last year, and I knew that I could get something better from these two.
Definitely better worked, but I still don't think it was worked as well as the CM Punk Taker match.
No, I understand. So, I mean you have more talent match in the ring with Taker and Punk. There's no question. But just, I was really proud that it lived up to what I wanted, because they literally cut 10 minutes off the match. I mean, it was 34 minutes last year. It was down to 24 and change this year. That's a big difference of a match right there.
Well, that's really bad, because the last year's match was so poorly paced.
Right.
At 34 minutes, you said? They should be ashamed of that for such a poorly paced match that was 34 minutes. I for some guys like The Rock and John Cena, especially now with The Rock not always wrestling all the time, and Cena not being the most versatile of wrestlers, because he's really not. They shouldn't really be going over 25 minutes.
No, this was a perfectly.
No wonder the match sucked so much. This was much better.
Perfectly booked match.
I still think that the beginning of the matches that John Cena has with The Rock, with a guy who's kind of like him, with a little more moves in his arsenal, the beginning of the match, especially after following Punk and Taker and Brock and Triple H, the beginnings of the match have to start a little faster after you've seen those two awesome matches. I still feel their matches at the beginning, the pacing is not that good at the beginning. I agree. But I really did like the end.
I think you get the same thing also similar with Lesnar and Triple H too. It's those style of workers.
Yes.
They always need to build into it. But I think at the same time, it also helps too, because the crowd needs to build into it. You kind of get that, you know, you're there live, Joe. You know, we're up, we're going crazy for the entrances. Now you want to sit down and calm down a little bit. So you get those first couple minutes where you're just kind of feeling the match out and seeing these guys get started. And they're doing some basic basic moves, and obviously nobody's really getting too big of an upper hand, and then you start really building the psychology of the match, and I think that it really, really works well, and it obviously came off good for the Triple H-Lesnar match. I think it came off even better for the Rock and Cena, and I loved all the false finishes at the end. Me and you were the people who said, if they want to steal back this crowd after a long night of some big matches before them, they're going to have to do it with the two counts, and I thought they did an excellent, excellent job of doing that, and I wouldn't have ended WrestleMania any way different than they did with the Rock and John Cena holding each other's arms on top of that entranceway with all that pyro blowing.
Hulk Hogan and the Rock.
Yeah, and all that pyro blowing in the end of the pay-per-view. I just thought, you know, I sat back and I was like, wow, you know, Vince McMahon and WWE, they do it again. Big production, big gate, big numbers, and just a great, solid show. And I'll defend WrestleMania 29 to anybody because I really, really enjoyed it.
I do want to see how it came off on TV. Being there is, of course, different.
Well, I watched both versions.
I enjoyed it. I can't wait to watch it on TV.
It was great. Top five moments of both days, WrestleMania and Raw. Joe, if you want to add anything to it, you go for it.
No, we'll just go with what you got. We got to get to the
Ziggler cashes in the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yeah, it's great.
John Cena defeats The Rock, and obviously that ending that I was
talking
about.
That was a torch pass.
Moment, okay. The Jersey crowd takes over Raw.
I wish I could have been a part of this crowd. This is the way crowds should be when you go to see wrestling. Go have a good time, shift with however the hell you want, and have fun. Be loud. You made the show so much better for the wrestlers, probably, and better for people watching at home. I hope there's a crowd just like it.
Undertaker versus CM Punk, the match at Mania, obviously has to get a check on here because that was the match to 95% of the people who watch the show, and I have no problem with them saying that. And the last moment is something that me and you both absolutely loved, and we mentioned it earlier, the Shield standoff with Taker and Kane and Daniel Bryan on Raw. I thought that was so awesome.
And looking forward to it. Whenever the Shield is involved in something, I'm looking forward to it. Of course, people want to see them break out and go and have a couple of singles matches, but as long as they're still moving forward with what they're doing, I don't have a problem with it. Once they start treading water, then it's time to branch them up. But so far, getting Taker in that picture, it looks pretty good for them.
And it keeps him in a match that he doesn't have to go crazy working and getting himself hurt. He's got two other people there to help him along.
And, you know, I always love when the Brothers of Destruction are together.
That's cool stuff, man. It's great. I love them together like that. I thought that came off awesome. I thought the crowd really ate it up, too. They gave the Shield a great reaction when they interrupted the Undertaker. It was such a great moment.
Yeah, man.
And it was also coming right off of the Ziggler cash-in, too. So those couple of segments right there, man, they really did the crowd good on Monday. And I was very, very proud to be a wrestling fan. And the Fandango, by the way, anything viral that can take over the internet that has anything to do with wrestling, I'm such a fan. That is awesome. I mean, car horns in the parking lot, train rides home, outside Grand Central Station.
For Fandango.
Unbelievable. And like me and Joe said, we told you so. Because I'm not saying the guy
obviously more than just us like him.
Not saying he's going to be a world champion, but to all the people who wanted to say to us, oh my God, this gimmick is ridiculous. He's not going to get over. How could you have a stupid dancing guy in the middle of a wrestling ring? The crowd is humming his theme. Okay? Are you kidding me? It's amazing. Love it. Best wrestling music moment since Edge and Christian played the kazoos on Raw. Yeah. No question about it.
Kazoos rule.
Yeah. Totally reek of awesomeness.
Want to have some cake?
Yeah.
Cake rocks the body that rocks
speaking
the body.
Speaking of Commissioner Mick going to get the sodas, by the way, before we get off the edge, I just want to remind you, this Tuesday, For All Mankind, Mick Foley, DVD, Blu-ray, I cannot wait to watch that, Joe. Me and you, Foley fans, not huge Foley fans, but
Long Island boy.
What I like about him, just like the Jericho DVD, you get great times in wrestling. You get to go through WCW, ECW, the golden attitude era of WWE, and I think it's going to be fantastic. And I think it's about 2 hours, the documentary alone, so it's going to be really, really good.
You know, I like the stories.
Definitely. So please check us out, WrestleReaction.net, Wrestle_React on Twitter, WrestleReaction on Facebook. And a lot of exciting things coming up. It's going to be a whole new year for WrestleReaction now that Mania is done. WWE may be slowing down, but we certainly are not. Make sure you tune in next Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern.
We'll back on Tuesdays.
On our regular time. Frank Manzo signing out along with Joe Omega.
And remember to let your A's breathe.